Lord knows, you know, the Lord knows all about us and what's going to happen next and what's going on. If there was a song for an introduction in this message tonight, it would have been that one. I mean, it goes right along here, because when we have troubles, we have trials, we get tired. And just like in the song, Lord, isn't it about time you help in this? And then when we get through it all, we look back and see how much He was helping that we didn't see and we didn't understand. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. I kind of struggle with this message, because if y'all were here in 2003, I preached it here. So that doesn't mean don't listen. It's been changed a little bit. So I've learned a little bit since then, and we've changed a little bit. But because I prayed about it, and I was trying to get something else together, but everything would fall apart. And I've already done two messages for tonight, and I still got them, but they're just words on a page. And the Lord laid this on my heart, and the title of this message is "Be of Good Cheer." No matter what comes upon us, there's too many times that the situations in our lives dictate our attitude, dictate our joy, our sadness, those things. As introduction, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And here, of course, they got the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount here. We want to look here at verses 11 and 12 as introduction to this message of be of good cheer. Matthew chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. It says, "Blessed are ye when men shall rival you, or revile you, and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." If you really study into this, he says here in verse 11, blessed, which that blessed means beyond any happiness that we know. It's extremely happy. It's joyful. A heavenly joy, if you will, when we are reviled, when we're made fun of, pushed, and persecuted. But the main word in this verse 11 is falsely, when we don't deserve it because we haven't done those things they're saying we've done. And this verse 12 says, "Rejoice and be exceeding glad." Now the word "rejoice" there is again extremely happy and exceeding glad. These words put together are saying that you jump for joy. That's how happy you are. You will jump for joy when these things happen to you. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which are before you." Think about the song that Mandy sang, and think about these verses. Our life, when we're persecuted, when trials and temptations come upon us, what does the Bible say in James that trials are, temptations are, for the trials of our faith? To prove that our faith will last. To prove that the Lord will last through the trials, through temptations. But if you're like me, too many times we forget that when those things come upon us. And we don't look at those things. We began to look at the trials. The other day, just as an example of how we feel sometimes, the other day at work, there was a problem, and I got called up to the second floor and went up there and was talking to the superintendents and all, and there was four of my guys right here with me. And the superintendent began to get aggravated and started yelling, and I told him, there's two of them there, and I told him, "Look, you can yell at us all you want to." And he said, "There ain't no us anymore." And I turned around and I was the only one there. Everybody left. But that's the way we feel sometimes when trials come upon us. It just as in a song, we feel sometimes like the Lord don't even know what's going on. But he tells us here, let's go on into this and turn, if you will, to Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1. Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 1 says, "And he entered into a ship and passed over and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee." This one here was sick of the palsy. He was crippled. Okay, if you turn over to Mark chapter 2, we get a little better light of the situation, what was going on with him. Mark chapter 2. And we'll start reading in verse 3. Mark chapter 2 and verse 3. It says, "And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four." So he didn't come on his own strength. He came born of four. It says, "And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." So we see here a little bit more light into what happened in the situation. This one couldn't walk there. He was born on a bed. Four friends carried him to the Lord Jesus. And we don't realize how much of a blessing it is to be able to walk. I mean, we don't. Until that's taken away from you, you don't realize how much of a blessing it is. Just as, I mean, we take it for granted, sight. We take it for granted, hearing. I do. I take it for granted. But this one here was sick of the palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus said to him these words, "Son, be of good cheer." Would it be hard to be of good cheer when you can't walk? When you're laying there on a bed and four have to carry you around to take you to the Lord for healing? Lord says, be of good cheer. Look, if you will, in Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. We'll start reading in verse 22. Matthew chapter 14 and verse 22 says, "And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up unto the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, and for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea. And when his disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, It is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto them, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water. And he said, Come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus." And we're going to stop right there. But we see here that some things we want to look at here. Sometimes we get the idea. You make a decision. Okay, you pray about it. I believe the Lord wants me to go this way. And we start heading that way. Everything is good. And we look at that. That's a sign, right? That's what we do. We do. And going this way, the Lord's blessing, all of a sudden we get trouble. Was I really supposed to come this way? Now, isn't that some things that come into our mind? When things hit and we begin to have turmoil and trouble and we're wrestling and we're having to fight to even go that way, and it's not as easy as it started out to be. It started out fine, but we know the Lord sent us this way. But yet, we can't reach the goal. We're having turmoil and trial, and it's just like the disciples here. They're going against the wind. But yet, one thing to notice, nowhere in here did they ever turn back. They didn't. It says that here in verse 22, "And straightway Jesus constrained His disciples to get into a ship and go before Him unto the other side, while He sent the multitude away." He said, "You get in that ship and you go to the other side." Okay. They got in the ship and they started heading to the other side and never made it. Because the winds were boisterous and contrary, blowing against them, not helping, waves and all. And these are not people like me in the ship. Some of these were fishermen. They're used to being in ships. This is nothing unnormal for them to be in a ship. They know how to handle themselves. They know the things to do. And they couldn't make it across. And they're having trouble. But yet they don't turn back. They continue to go. And Christ, verse 25, "In the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them walking on the sea." You would think that this would be a great thing. Their help is coming. Their hope is coming to them. But in verse 26, "And when the disciples saw Him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, 'It is a spirit,' and they cried out for fear." I have to admit, I would be pretty afraid too. You know? And Christ, in their fear, their turmoil, their trial, they're doing what the Lord said to do. They're following His Word. And yet, they're having a lot of trouble. And the Lord says to them, in verse 27, "When He sees their fear, 'But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" When we're going through trials and tribulations in our life, and we're going against some things that are out of our control, I'll be honest with you, the last thing on my mind is being of good cheer. Just be honest. That's one of the last things on my mind. But you know what I find? When I'm in trouble like that, for me, when I begin to pray, I begin to see a change in my outlook on the situation. You ask the Lord to help, let Him have the situation. Let Him have it. He can do a whole lot more with it than I can. Look, if you will, in Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6. This is the same here. We want to read this to show you that it's the same one here, but another account of it. Verse 50 says, "For they all saw Him and were troubled, and immediately He talked with them and saith unto them, 'Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid.'" What I did in this is we looked up every place where "be of good cheer" is mentioned. And to my knowledge, I cannot find this phrase ever mentioned by man in the Bible. It's mentioned by God every time. The only time it's mentioned by a man, I just said it was never, but the only time it's mentioned of a man, it's said of what God told him. Okay? The Lord is telling us to be of good cheer when we're in times of trouble. In John chapter 16, John chapter 16, John chapter 16 and verse 33. Most of y'all have heard this is one of my favorite scriptures. Most of y'all have heard, I don't know if all of you know, but why this is one of my favorite scriptures, but you know the way that the Lord had Melinda brought into this world was, in my opinion at the time, very difficult. I look back on it now and it's very easy because He was in control of it all. It's very evident He was in control of it all. But I would come home from the hospital. Her and Trish both were in a hospital at Barnes and Children's in St. Louis. I would come home and lay down and couldn't sleep, so I turned the TV on and watched TV until I got tired and go to sleep, and just kept getting more and more tired, more and more wore out, more and more frustrated, more and more discouraged. And praying, but wasn't really praying, I was just making words. Finally, one day, I prayed to the Lord and asked Him to help me, and the thought came to my mind is, instead of watching TV tonight, if you can't sleep, read the Bible. And I began to do that. And I come across this verse. And as I sat and read this verse, in turmoil and a lot of things going on there, but the biggest thing was my little baby was in the hospital with difficulties, and I come up on this verse, John 16:33. It says, "These things I have spoken unto you." Now, I'll let you go back and look in John and find out what things He's spoken. Okay? Not now, but you can do it later. "But these things I have spoken unto you, that in Me you might have peace." And I was laying there in the bed, reading my Bible, and come across this verse, and that just stood out to me. All these things He's spoken to me for the purpose that no matter what situation I'm in, no matter what trials, no matter what turmoils I'm in, it says, "These things I've spoken unto you, that in Me ye might have peace." And in a situation I couldn't have peace in, the Lord was showing me a whole bunch of things. One of the things He was showing me is He's in control and I'm not. Because I'm one of those people that I like to be hands-on, which in my terminology means doing it. The Lord was taking my hands off the whole situation and showing me that He's perfectly capable of handling it. I was laying in their bed looking at this thinking, "Lord, this is what I want." Yes, I finally found a verse that shows me that I can have peace. So I was excited to read the rest of this verse. Then it said, "In the world you shall have tribulation." My bubble was just burst. That's not what I want. I'm in the middle of tribulation. I'm in the middle of trials and turmoil. I don't need to be told in the world I'm going to have tribulation. And I didn't understand. I knew I was going to have peace because He said so. "But in the world you shall have tribulation." He says, "But be of good cheer." I about closed my Bible. I'll be honest with you. How? How can we be in the middle of trials and turmoils and things that we have no control over? None at all. Especially, and some of you have been in situations where it involves your family members, your children. You do anything to protect your children. Do anything. You'd rather it be you that's suffering instead of seeing your child suffer. And then you're reading the Bible here and He tells you, "In the world you're going to have tribulation." "Yes, I know." And then He says, "But be of good cheer." How? How are you to be of good cheer? And it frustrated me looking at this, thinking, "Lord, you're telling me that I can have peace through you. In the world I'm going to have trials, but be happy about it. Those two don't come together very good for me." And then He says here, I finally, after a little bit of stewing and talking to the Lord about this and arguing with Him about this Scripture, I finally decided to read the last part of it. And the last part of it is, "I have overcome the world." We can have good cheer. We can have happiness in our lives. We can have joy in our lives in the middle of tribulation, in the middle of trials. Why? Because who's the one in charge? It's not me in the first place. It's not you. I tell you, too many times we forget that no matter what happens, the Lord's in control. You know, we like to read the scriptures in here about Daniel in the lion's den, right? We like that. Daniel stood up. He prayed. Even though he knew what was going to happen, he prayed and stood. And he threw me in the lion's den and he came out the next day. Not even a scratch on him, right? We like that story. We like the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego who told the king, I'm not going to bow down. Though you throw me in a fiery furnace, I'm not going to bow down and worship you. They threw me in a fiery furnace. And they came out of a fiery furnace not even to smell smoke on them. But then we read about Stephen. His didn't turn out, in humanly speaking, as good. I mean, he preached the Word of God. He preached it there. And told the people the truth. And what did they do? Oh, thank you for coming. We appreciate that. Hold him up. No. Stoned him to death. Stoned him. We don't like thinking about following the Lord sometimes goes down a path that hurts this flesh. But what does the Lord say to do in those times? What does the Lord say to do? Right here. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Why? How? How can we be of good cheer? Well, He says right there, I've overcome the world. I've overcome it. And by the way, if you think about Stephen, when he was stoned, where was Christ? That's the one scripture you find that he was not sitting at the right hand of God. He was standing. I love that. I think that's just fantastic that when I'm in trouble, I like to think about, I don't know if it's true or not, but I like to think about when I'm in turmoil and trouble that Christ is standing at the right hand of God. Not sitting, but He's ready to help. He's there. Just like when our children, when they go to fall and you can't get to them, what do? You stiffen up. I can just see Christ up there. I'm giving you strength. Maybe it's in my mind. But I'm sure, I know it is, but Christ says, be of good cheer. Take our eyes off the circumstance and look at Him. Look in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 4. How can we be of good cheer? First John chapter 4 and verse 4 says, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. No matter what this world throws upon us, we have someone greater in us than is in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ. We can overcome. We can be of good cheer. Because He is with us. Look in Acts chapter 23. Acts chapter 23. Acts 23 verse 11. Now here, Paul is in prison at Jerusalem. The Jews here, they want him dead. They want Paul dead. They want to kill him. They're trying to conspire to get him killed. It could be the end for Paul. But the Lord comes to him. We don't know what this is like, what Paul's facing here. And to be honest with you, I pray we never know what it's like here. Verse 11 of Acts chapter 23, verse 11 says, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. He says, I know the Jews want to kill you. The Jews want to be the end of your life completely, end your testimony, do away with you completely, but you be of good cheer. Think about it. One man here, and the Jews are out to get him. He's in prison. The Lord says, be of good cheer, Paul. Why? For because as thou testify to me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness of me at Rome. He says, I'm not done with you. You're going to Rome. And you're going to bear witness there of me. So the Lord works it out. And look in Acts 27. Here, they are, Paul is in a ship and they're going to Rome. And if you ever read this account, it is just amazing some things that happen on this account. There's some people that want to go with Paul and the soldiers let them. Let them go and they're there and Paul's on the ship and they're here in verse 21 says, but after a long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you know the story here where they were going to go, they're going to leave, and Paul said, let's not leave. There's going to be a storm come. Stay here. I've been told, but Lord, stay. They said, no, we're going to go. So in verse 21, but after a long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Now, remember, Paul's a prisoner, okay? In the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. So he said, look, no one's going to die. We're going to lose the ship. But no one's going to die. Okay? In verse, let's keep reading here. Verse 23 says, for there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am, and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given these all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Now this is the time where Paul says, be of good cheer, but he's telling them to be of good cheer because of what God's told him. God said, everyone in this ship's going to survive. I mean, you think about that, the prisoner. It's the one that the Lord came and talked to. Paul's on a ship. He's going to Rome. And I believe by his own testimony that he knows he's never leaving Rome. Because you read in there and see that if he dies at Rome, he's fine with it. Because he wants to serve the Lord and follow Him. He's going to go into a shipwreck in a storm. They're going to lose the ship, and yet he's telling people to be of good cheer. This word, I didn't tell you about this word cheer here means to cheer up, be cheerful, more cheerfully, to be merry. Be of good cheer. Be happy. All right. Yay, we're going to go into a shipwreck and lose the whole ship. Yay. That's not what we think. Why is that? Because we look at it. If you're like me, you look at it like, man, we're going to lose the ship. We're going to be shipwrecked. Oh, no. What are we going to do? The Lord done said we're not going to die. The Lord's in control. He knows what's going on. We have trials and tribulations, turmoils in our lives. We have temptations come upon us. What do? If you're like me, you get tired. You get wore down. You forget that the Lord's there by you. You forget that, as Paul said, when I am weak in this flesh, then am I strong. See, well, I don't understand that. That's because when my flesh is weak, that's when I realize I can't depend on it. That's when I realize I have to go to the Lord for help. That's when I depend on Him, and that's when I'm strongest. When I rely on His strength and not mine. It's not hard to be of good cheer when things are going good. It's not hard. It's real easy to be happy when everything at work is going really smooth and you're keeping up with the schedule, everything's going fine. When you go to work and the bosses pat you on the back, you're doing a good job, doing a fine job, keep up with the good work. But it's hard to be happy when you go to work and all you hear is bickering and complaining and the continual questions. You know, I'm thinking about, you know, my job. You're not meeting the schedule. What's going on? Why aren't you here? Well, it's hard to be of good cheer when things aren't going right. And I believe that's why the Lord put these verses in the Bible, along with the other ones, to show us when things are the worst, that's when we need to be of good cheer. That's when it's not easy. That's when we need it the most. That's when we need to trust the Lord. Put our faith in Him. Too many times. He's going to say we, but I'm going to say I. It's almost like my trust is in a situation. I'm saying that because that's what dictates. That's what dictates how much I pray. You ever notice that? When you have trials and you get unhappy, you get uneasy, you begin to pray more. That's why we have trials. Did you ever think of that? That's why we have them. Because we don't pray enough when we're in a good mood, we're happy, we forget. So the Lord lets us go through some trials. So we go back to Him and get us back where we ought to be. We need to be of good cheer. Be happy no matter what situation you're in, no matter what trial you're going through. You may be through trial here tonight. Look to the Lord in that trial. Give that trial to the Lord. Okay? We can't deal with it. I've tried enough of my trials to deal with them, and all I do is get them all messed up. Then I take it to the Lord and it's really messed up once I've got done with it. And give it to the Lord and there's peace when you give it to the Lord. Give your trials to the Lord and be of good cheer. Trust in Him. Hope this will be a blessing to you. Thank you.